Hello, Dan. Welcome to Albania. We have many great things, such as rocks, big rocks, smaller rocks. Roads are made of rocks. Your new wife here, Sheila, is also made of rocks.
I'm glad I made the trip over here. This is pretty awesome.
Would you like to sleep on a bed of rocks? If you're not getting it, we got a lot of rocks. Do you need rocks? We'll give you these rocks.
Hey, like, can you smell what the rock is cooking?
I don't get that reference. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Indie Film Review.
Yes, hello. I'm Dan. That's Jared.
Hi.
We watched a movie about rocks.
Yeah, we watched a film about rocks. A very depressing film about rocks.
Yes.
Dare I say interesting?
It's not really about rocks, but it is. Heavily featured. Rocks are, that is.
Welcome to Rock Talk.
Rock Talk.
It's Denny and the Biz at Rock Talk 28-4.
That's close to being a radio
die-in.
Or tie. Oh, fuck.
A die-in?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying, man.
Okay, let's start the episode again. Anywho, we watched The Forgotten Mountain.
The Forgotten Mountain. It was submitted to us by The Movie Agency. Thank you, Movie Agency, for giving us yet another wonderful film.
It's The Movie Agency. Here's a film.
So
I have to do that every time we do
The Movie Agency. So The Forgotten Mountain is about a man who is on in his years, who's pretty much... You know, in his last tread of shoes, if you know what I mean.
Tread of shoes.
Yes. Tread.
I get
it. What is going on with my mouth? I can't make words. Anyway, so it's a guy who's dying. He's old. And his son rips him off, basically gets him out of the deed to the house and kicks him out. And his daughter takes him in. But along the way, he realizes that his daughter is having issues and can't necessarily take care of them the way that he should. Mm-hmm. And he feels really sorry for himself. And all he wants to do is just die. And that's what this film is.
Would you say this is the most depressing film?
It's one of
that
the...
you've seen in a while.
One of the most depressing films I've seen. Like, and this film does a really great job of layering all of the things that make you feel icky and not wanting to experience, but you have to experience them anyway.
This film, the director is Ardit Sadakiu, I believe. He is the writer and director of it. And all of the filming was in Teth, Albania, which if you look up Teth, T-H-E-T-H, sorry, it's like the with a T-H at the end. It is very pretty. It's a very cool looking place.
Yeah, no, like everything about this film, the way it looked, it's hard to get terrible looking shots whenever, you know, what's in front of you is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So this film is really awesome to look at, but it's kind of the awesomeness and the beautiful nature that you see is undermined by all of the nasty, depressing things that are brought out in the story. We'll say that.
I don't think undermined is the word I would use. It's like a contrast, I would think. Like,
yeah, okay, it's like a contrast. Yeah,
stillness of nature and contemplation, and then everyone else's lives around this untamed land that they're in. Because this is a very small town. It's like a town of like 100 people, maybe less. And there are no roads. Everything is fucking rocks. Like when they're walking back from church, it's just they're walking on big ass rocks. Their houses are just stones stacked on top of each other, and it's like medieval castles that they all live in. Except for this one guy who's got this really nice the neighbor has this luxury house that he's using for tourists. I kind of like that. So, what were your initial impressions of this film, Dan?
I'm not going to sugarcoat this at all. The film is incredibly slow to a point where it got monotonous to me. I love slow films. I do like them.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to be... They need to pique my interest in one way or another, and I feel like this film just did not do that for me. Whereas we watch a film like Kauka, and Kauka is just so interesting in its mystery and the mysticism surrounding the nature around it that kept me engaged, even though there nothing fucking happens in that film.
Yes.
Nothing really happens in this film either, but all I have to keep me engaged are these really upsetting bouts of existential dread that the father goes through, and then the drama that happens with his daughter. It's a slow burn, but I feel like the burn was not as hot as it could have been.
Oh. Dens, not hot take. Yeah. Okay, I will defend this movie. So, Kauka, yes, that movie is fantastic. I love it very much. That film has more of an occult kind of mysterious feel to it, and the visuals are incredibly striking. This movie is more muted, more rooted in reality, where you're dealing with real-world problems, and the conflicts come from these complex relationships everyone has with each other and with the dad, who I'm just going to be calling Dad because they only say his name like one time. I don't remember his name.
Ricardo, or Ricard is his name.
Is it? Okay, Ricard. And his daughter's Emma, and then her husband is Lorenz. And then Anton is his son, who you never see. I love this a lot, how you only find out about him through phone calls. One-sided phone calls people have of them talking on the phone. Okay, so in defense of this film, I think the acting is very good. I think the camera work is really good. The writing is... There's so many great quotable lines in this movie that I was down for. And yes, it is an incredibly slow movie. There is no action. The biggest, like... climax of the film is a man pushes another man and then seems to be winded and leans against a fence in frustration.
Yeah.
that was one of the bigger climaxes.
See, what really bothers me about this film, like I enjoyed what you're talking about, and like I mm-hmm. could see the merit, the artistic merit in the writing and the cinematography and everything like that. But what bothers me about this film is its title, I think. Because The Forgotten Mountain almost implies a sense of mysticism. And the synopsis that I read for it said that they take the father and put him up in their cabin that they own in the, quote, accursed mountains. There was nothing about that in the film. So I'm sitting there waiting for, like, some kind of, you know, epiphany this guy might have, the dad at least, might have, that is somewhat supernatural or somewhat like getting in tune with the you know, the Spriggans or the Fawns or what have you.
The Elven race.
Exactly. There's none of that, and it's mostly this journey of this guy being too depressed to live. And what I really liked about this film was the dad character. I could probably do without the drama with his daughter.
Really? Well, that's part of the dad, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, I mean, we'll get into that in the spoiler section of the film, but a lot of that all comes back to the dad and him trying to find a reason to live, which right. is, he doesn't have many reasons to live, sadly, which we will get into. Dan, you're right. This movie would have been better if there was some kind of dwarf that fell off a horse. I agree. This movie's like, if you're not in the mood for it, you have to be in a mood.
Yeah, I probably wasn't in the mood for this movie.
And I think this film caught me in a spot where I was in a mood to just watch this slow, slow burn of a film. I can definitely see how it would be a turnoff. Okay, let's do some questions because we didn't do any questions yet. Dan?
Yes?
Do you think that the old man had any reason to live?
Yeah. I mean, the persistent memory of his late wife, mm-hmm. that should be, you know, something to keep you going. Even though she's not there anymore, he's just looking at it all wrong. And even whenever he talks to the priest, like, the priest basically gives him a little bit of a psychology lesson in the meantime. He just kind of lets that wash over him. So I feel like he has a lot to be upset about, but I don't think he has enough to be, you know, suicidal or anything.
Yeah, it's like he is given so many reasons to live and he systematically rejects every single one of them.
Right. Which was part of the reason why the movie so depressing. Because, like, the guy that you are supposed to identify with as the protagonist just refuses any and all help he gets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he is the forgotten... I don't know, he... Because, well, this movie is really about his severe depression.
Yeah.
And, like, he feels like he is the forgotten place. He's the forgotten mountain or whatever. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, Jared. On a scale of 1...
Oh, boy.
...to 10...
How you like that ass?
No, wait. Maybe, did I say it wrong?
You know what? Here, because I know you want to ask a spoiler question, so ask that spoiler question. We're going to get into spoilers, by the way, guys. So if you want to see this movie, it should be available on Amazon Prime.
Perfect.
We're going to spoil it right now. Dan, ask your spoiler question.
Jared, on the scale of 1 to affair, mm-hmm. How stupid... Do you have to be to have an affair with a next-door neighbor where there's only, I don't know, 5 people in your neighborhood?
Well, it's not so much... I don't feel like Emma is dumb. I just feel like she doesn't care.
Oh.
It's so blatant.
Her husband scared me. I would be afraid of him.
Lorenz, he knows exactly what's going on, but he is in denial of it. It could be one of those things where he's so comfortable with his life, he can't see his life without this his wife, you know? But he's just like, I know what's going on. And what's even sadder is that the two men were good friends before. It's so blatant. So Lorenz and the grandfather go to church. And mm-hmm. The church scene is so beautiful because it's like out in the mountains, just like open field. And the pews are just sitting out on grass and they're listening to the preacher. But while that's going on, Emma... the daughter is, she said she's going to go to church, but she skips it. And she is smoking a cigarette on a stump outside of this, like, beautiful landscape. Everything's beautiful in this movie. And the neighbor shows up and goes, hey, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know, having a good time. And they both just share an awkward cigarette together. And that's the only thing you need to know to immediately be like, oh, these two be fucking.
Yeah.
It's so obvious that these two are having sex. And then when he walks away, when he runs into the branch... Because he, like, turns around to say goodbye to her. I fucking loved all that. So, yeah, I don't think she cared. I think she's like, whatever. What is he going to do? She's really testing the limits of her relationship with this husband. Speaking of spoilers, here's my question to you. Spoiler question. What was the ending? What was your interpretation of what the ending was?
The ending told me that no matter what you are doing in your life and where you feel you are... in terms of your mental health and your existence and how, you know, you've come to be at the certain moment in time, there's always going to be one person there with you, at least one. You're never alone in what you are trying to pursue. And mm-hmm. I feel like the woman that he meets at the end, all you need to know, because you never see her throughout the entire movie, and she just appears, and she has the same motivation, or so she says, as the Ricard. So,
yeah, I guess you could infer that she is just as depressed as him and might have been doing the exact same thing he was doing.
That's exactly what I got out of it. And there's so many, at this point in the film, Ricard burns all of his clothing and he's just, he wants to escape the clutches of his old life. But what
well,
he does...
Well, so he finds out, I'm sorry to cut you off because I feel like we need context for this. He finds out that his daughter has been cheating on her husband. He finds out that the daughter and the husband have now both agreed that they're going to send him to an old folks home
mm-hmm.
because it's not working out with them. So he has both of his children now are basically abandoning him, even though he's helped both of them so much throughout their lives.
Yeah.
They're like, they don't want to take care of him or see him or whatever. He has rejected his relationship with the older next door neighbor, which I want to talk about later. So he is on his last legs. And like he said, he goes and burns his clothes and he just starts wandering into the wilderness just to die, basically.
Yeah. But he also burns all his personal belongings, except in the frame, he has a framed picture of his deceased wife and he takes that with him. So that deliberate action of holding on to something that was once part of your life made a lot of sense. And as he walks away with somebody else, you know, you have to wonder, does that person have something that they are holding on to as well that is essentially their motivation to move forward? And I feel like that makes Ricard an innocent bystander in all this. He didn't deserve any of this stuff that happened to him. His family really does suck. And what bothers me the most about the film is, you know, they're going to put him in an old folks home, but Lorenz just... Ricard does not do anything to piss anybody off. He doesn't. I did not see it once. And Lorenz is just like, yeah, I don't mind him around here. No, he has to go. Like, he changed night and day for, like, no apparent reason that I saw.
I think he's just trying to appease his wife, honestly. Really? Because Lorenz is really trying to work with the dad and, like, trying to make him comfortable and, like, trying to help him the best way he knows how. Do we mention that the dad's, his wife is dead and that's why he has the picture of her?
I said
she had passed away recently. Yeah. Okay. I at first thought that maybe, because there's a scene where he is at a bridge and you're like, is he going to jump off this bridge into this water and kill himself? And then it cuts to him walking that path again. And then he meets the woman and she's like, what are you doing out here? He's like, I'm looking for
my luck.
Yeah, I'm looking for my luck. I'm looking for better luck. And she's like, oh, I'm looking for better luck too. She's like, let's go find it together. And they just both start to like hobble away together. I thought maybe he was dead and they were both like going to the afterlife. Mm. But hearing your interpretation of it is much better. Of them, like, they both thought about killing themselves. They're like, you know what? We're gonna try to like get out of this. Because now we've found each other, like someone else who's also going through this depression. And they're both trying to like hobble out of it together, which is nice. I thought he should have hooked up with the older lady.
I thought that she was going to hook up with him the entire movie. I'm like, why this should be the story right here, like that them developing that relationship.
The film rejects that because it's like, okay, here's an avenue of somehow of something that somebody could fulfill their life with. Like, oh, if you find a partner, then your life is more worth living. And this character rejects that idea.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not how I'm going to define myself. He's like, that's not something that I'm actually looking for to have meaning in my life. So I thought that was kind of a cool take on that. Because it's very obvious at one point where the woman comes up to him and is like, hey, do you need anything? Are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. I don't need anything.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And then that's the last time we see that lady. When she is like fully rejected by him and she leaves. I thought it was just pretty powerful. There's a lot of interesting stuff with that. Okay, I want to talk about some of the scenes in this film.
All right.
And some of the dialogue, because I was starring the shit out of my notes on some of the stuff that happens in this movie. I'll just try to go through it and see what I like and what I don't. I wrote, there's always more time for men. Oh, I remember what that is in reference to. Emma is talking to Laurence, and they want to have a kid together. And apparently,
I would say that Emma wants to have a kid.
Yeah, and he doesn't. Well, first, it's going to be too expensive to have a kid.
Yeah.
And they need to get artificial insemination because they can't do it naturally, which will cost a lot of money. And he's like, we need to wait. There's always more time. You're like, we'll just wait for a while. Just have patience. And she's like, well, there's always more time for men. There's never enough time for women.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, damn. That's a fucking burn. And it's actually biologically makes sense, too. That struggle between those two, it's like that's what she uses to justify cheating on her husband.
Yeah.
He's not fertile enough, I guess. I don't know. I loved a line where the dad talks about his regrets in life and how he says he regrets working too much. And he's like, all that work and no reward. And it's like, oh, boy. That is so true.
That's kind of why I appreciated the dad as the protagonist. I got to know him a little bit more. And he's a very seasoned human being. He's been around forever. He has the right and the ability to say lines like that, I guess. But they just become so much more upsetting whenever said by a person who is older.
Seriously, after a phone conversation that the dad has with Anton, the kid who basically ruined his entire life and took his house from him, unlawfully, pretty much, he hangs up the phone and he turns to his daughter and he's like, he's malicious. If he can take your home, he can also take your soul. I was like, Jesus Christ! Really, really intense. Okay, so here's a few scenes I wanted to talk about just because I love the camera work. There's one where we have Laurence and Emma are sitting with the dad at a dinner table. It's like a picnic table outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really beautiful shot of the house behind them. And it's kind of further away. And they're all talking. And then the dad is kind of getting upset about something. And he gets up to go walk away. But as he's walking away, the hot next door neighbor starts to walk up. So as this is going on, there's all this motion of he's leaving. The next door neighbor is walking towards the camera. He sits down. They're offering him wine and whatever. They're having awkward small talk, whatever. Nobody knows about the cheating yet, really. Mm-hmm. And then this whole time they're having this conversation, the dad is slowly walking to the house. So, like, you're looking at that, you're looking at them, you're listening to the conversation. It's like there's a lot of tension.
And he falls right whenever he gets to the house.
Yeah, his heart starts skipping or whatever, and he's not feeling well. So then one guy gets up and, like, starts running to him. I just love the motion and the fluidity of that scene. It was really good, the foreground, background playing with that. Another scene was really good where you have the grandfather is looking in a mirror and Laurence shows up behind him and he starts speaking to him, but you're seeing him through the mirror and you're seeing the grandfather through the mirror, and they start doing a rack focus of, they start changing the perspective of the foreground and background back and forth depending on who's talking. And I just, like, they do so many clever things like that to keep each scene interesting by using fun and dynamic camera work, where it's not just like, okay, here's a shot of a guy's face, now cut to this other person's face. You know what I mean? It's not just like static, straight on shots. And I liked that. I liked the movement of a lot of the different scenes.
Man,
I didn't
pick up on that much because I guess I wasn't in.
Because you're
right
bored as shit.
For it. Yeah.
yeah. You're just because you're fucking bored. Well, with a film this slow, you start to notice everything else. I feel because there's a lot of points where there's no dialogue at all going on. Was there any other scene you wanted to talk about, Dan? Even the scene you didn't like.
I liked all the scenes. I really liked how downplayed the discovery of the affair was.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, all you see is Ricard. He's just hobbling along the path one day, and he looks to his right, and he sees his daughter leave. What's his name's house?
The neighbor.
And he just looks at her and just kind of shakes his head and just keeps walking.
I love how while that's happening, just a random horse got out of a barn was just walking around. I'm like, that's a symbolism right there. I'm like watching the film, I'm like, I know you're a symbolism. I don't know what you're supposed to symbolize, but you're definitely a symbolism. But I see you. I don't know who you are.
You're like that meme with the butterfly.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a symbol?
I love how they revealed initially to the audience that there is an affair, because it's just like a hint of it. It just straight up cuts to those two in the bed together. There's no preamble. There's no like, oh, what's going on? It's like, boom. Yeah. She's in bed with him. And then he has this conversation of like, did you ever love your husband? Because he's feeling bad about what they are doing.
Yeah.
He's like, this is kind of fucked up what we're doing. He's like, we're still doing it, but, you know. And then her response, silence. She says nothing. She turns and walks away. And it's like, that is more powerful than anything she could have said.
And then a horse busts in the door. And
that's right. And then a horse jumps right through the fucking window. And I'm sure that meant something. final thoughts. I really enjoyed this movie. Would I watch it again? I don't know. I could probably recommend it to certain people, definitely, but
it was a good slow burn.
Yeah.
But I've been burned more slowly by other films. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We're on the Facebook. We're on the Spotify, the Stitcher, the Apple Podcasts.
That's right, baby girl. I mean, what else is there to say? The Necropodicon Network is fun. You should probably go there. And if you go to necropodicon.com, you can click on the little Discord link there and come talk to us.
You can say, hey, guys. That movie was boring.
And we'll say, what? No, here's 57 reasons why it was boring, but also good. And that'll be riveting. You'll love it. there's also a ton of other really good podcasts on there you can check out.
Yeah.
Which I'm all big fans of.
We love Necropodicon. Yeah. But you know what, listeners? More than we love Necropodicon, we love you.
I love you. I don't know the rest of that song.
That song's so ubiquitous. Fuck you.
That's the only line of that song I know. Okay, thanks guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Tell more people about the show. That's the best thing you do about the show. I mean, leaving us a review on the iTunes or whatever is great. I love that too. But like, yeah, just tell some people about it. You're like, hey, dummy, listen to this. And then maybe through that insult, maybe they'll have low self-esteem and they'll be like, you know what? I should listen to this person. They're better than me. And you know what? They're right. Because you listen to our show. So thank you. I appreciate it. Dan, you have the final word.
Albania, we salute thee. With rocks and rocks.
Yeah.
Gar, Captain, what's that behind ye?
Hey, I don't know. What be that behind me, lad?
Look behind ye. Look behind ye.
I'm looking behind me, lad. What is it?
That's my knife in your back.
I'm Waffles.
And I'm Mario.
And together we're
Waffles and Mario talk about things. Things, yes.
Oh, we're still up for drinks. Oh, you know we're up for drinks. You know we're up for drinks.
Yeah, nah.
That was improvised.
What did you want us to talk about next? That's the gimmick.
We can talk about stories we've got, genre mashups, parodies, or even current news.
We can talk about anything.
Improv joke.
Improv
joke. Stand up.
Insert joke here.
Bit we can cut to. Bit we can cut to.
Cut
middle
to
of bumper.
Cut
bumper.
To
bumper.
Bumper. Bumper.
It's pretty self-explanatory. It's in the name.
Waffles and Mario talk about things.
So come on down and find us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get good podcasts from.
We're on Twitter at @Waffles_Mario.
We're a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.